Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
It's Wednesday, which means it's Trends Day on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, our in-season podcast where we talk about developing trends and things that we're seeing. And we watch games all weekend. We go and review them and look at the All-22 tape in the days leading up to this to find some things that we see happening around at different places. And so joining me on the podcast to talk about these trends that we're finding is the founder and CEO of First Down Playbook, former NFL coach, Charlie Coyner. Charlie, great to have you here again.
Hey, Keith, good to be here. This has been a great 10-week project. Getting to watch things evolve over the last 10 weeks has been fun.
And then a guy who probably watches way too much football, if that's possible, Zach Dunn, who is our content coordinator and analyst at USA Football. Zach, good to be talking ball with you again.
Can't wait, Keith.
All right, guys. So a trend. We talked about this play, I think, a couple weeks ago, but now I'm starting to see it pop up in different places, in different ways. And really, it's, you know, Charlie, you mentioned it, I think, last week. You called it just a double jet. But basically, you have a jet motion. A lot of times, guys are right now doing this out of bunch so that you have a second guy right behind, kind of in a tight formation, who on the snap of the ball is sprinting and just following that guy. So it looks like you have two guys running the jet, and that other guy at times becomes the lead blocker out on the edge. Or he, in one case, and we saw it with Jarvis Landry and OBJ, the first guy became the pitch man. We had a little option phase out there, but it usually starts with something going the other way. So believe it or not, the Steelers copied exactly the Browns play. They tried to run that exact play. Now, they didn't do it as well because they lost the reach. They were trying to reach that end and they didn't get them reached. But we also saw KC run this against the Colts, and they give it a speed option look away from where the jet was going. But again, it was run out of that bunch formation with the nub tight end, and they had everything spread out here. And I think when I look at this play, I was talking to you guys about this beforehand, what I see happen is the defense, with the combination of a jet sweep going one way, with the action of the rest of the backfield, quarterback and running back going the other way, we're just separating the defense. So now it starts to, those gaps are spreading out, they're moving a little bit, and they're opening up some space then for that second guy who is trailing to do something when he gets that flip from the quarterback.
Yeah, Keith, you're all over it. And what I just said as we opened up the show, that there's no better topic that feeds into that. It's been a, maybe not for the guys that are out there doing it, but for me sitting here watching it over the past 10 weeks, as we have evolved watching it, it almost looks like it's become an exponential, you know, what you can do. When you start taking jets and you start taking motions and shifts and arounds and reverses and RPOs off of that and slide nakeds, and this time the first guy on the jet's getting the ball, and this time he's kicking out, this time he's whamming, this time, you know, it is, I can only imagine a defensive coordinator's nightmare as they begin to look at all this, because, you know, defensive coaches love to say, let's don't defend ghosts. Well, probably appropriate that we're in the month of October right now, because there are no more ghosts. I mean, everything is up. Everything is up and could be called. And in the old days, I'm not so sure that was true in the NFL. But right now, when you got as many creative guys, and I want to point the thumb at myself. I said this yesterday on All 22 Tuesday. You know, I was one of those guys that wasn't really sure that some of this stuff could be run at the NFL level, because I didn't, and I still believe this, I don't think that you can expose your quarterback that much in that league, because they will get him if you do that. Well, I'm watching these offenses being run, and it looks like some of the flag football stuff we've got, you know, two guys going this way, shift, motion, quarterback one way, back the other. And guess what? There's nobody within 5 yards of the quarterback. So he's in no peril at all. All you're doing is creating the misdirection with everybody but them, and they're sitting back there just looking for a chance to kill you with an RPO. Yeah, I really have. I've been fascinated and doing what we do at First Down Playbook, been drawing like crazy this season, trying to draw up all this new stuff that people are running.
I know when we look at that and we, you know, especially we mentioned the double or the trailer, you know, being run with a wide receiver coming underneath. But we've seen that with, you know, tight end as well. I know I've seen Kelce do that. But just going to the single motion, you've seen that tight end now become dynamic. I mean, even last night, I should say Monday night, Kittle getting, you know, a jet sweep around the end, taking it for 18 yards. Like, those guys are dynamic. You think of a Kelce or an Andrews from the Ravens. I mean, yeah, they're going to make some great blocks, but now all of a sudden they're slipping in the flat on a pass or he has the ball coming around the edge. So it's one of those things when you look at the backside of that play away from, you know, where that tight end is usually, you know, in the past, it's just been, he's been the split zone guy and he's been kicking out the backside edge. You know, those guys aren't necessarily going and attacking him hard right now because they're waiting to see, what is he doing? Is he wrapping up for me and the quarterback's keeping the ball? Is there somebody on the RPO behind me? You know, is he kicking out? Is he whamming? Is he getting the ball? You just don't know anymore. So it really slows down the backside edge. You talk about controlling the defense that way. I think there's a huge advantage when you have a guy that you can use like that.
Zach always talks about, you know, how your conflict of assignment and filling which gap and all that on defense. And so we watched yesterday on All 22 Tuesday, we pointed out several cases where if you're trying to play man coverage and a lot of times you need to, if you got jet, because you got to get an extra number over there, but that guy coming across the man coverage could be responsible for filling for a toss crack. He could be filling for a wham inside. He might have to fill on the backside of a zone read or a split zone, or could be a slide naked, or like you said, it could be an RPO. So yeah, defense coordinators have their work cut out for them.
Well, I think part of this too is you look at we're starting to see, you know, more and more man as an answer to those RPOs, or at least, you know, quick match and cover downs, and, you know, the misdirection stuff can really help an offense. Like I said, when you're attacking both flanks, and we've seen those kind of plays this year, we've talked about them where you had a sweep going one way and a sweep going the other way, and then the quarterback maybe with the ability to keep the ball straight up the middle or dump it off to somebody on a quick pass for an RPO. Just incredible stresses added to the defense. And, you know, I don't think offenses are necessarily being hurt by man. I see them more and more taking advantage of it. Something we've talked about with the level two screens, something we've talked about with all the mesh and the mesh with the spot, you know, all the different variations that we see of that. And one of the ones I saw this weekend is a great one for low red zone. And, you know, Zett, one of Zach's team's favorite plays, ran it three times in the Super Bowl, the Patriots Haas age Juke. And in this case, we saw Carolina doing it with Christian McCaffrey. We also saw Florida doing the same kind of thing against Auburn. And it's really, you know, when you think of the core of this play, and we'll put the video up on our show notes at blogs.usafootball.com. We also talked about it on All 22 Tuesday, and check that out at blogs.firstdownplaybook.com. But you're creating space for a very dynamic guy to catch the ball and just win one-on-one. But the key to it, you know, and there's some different ways you could teach it. I learned it basically is, the very first thing that receiver does is run a hitch. So he runs his hitch, nobody's there, he's going to get the ball right away. That doesn't necessarily happen a lot in the low red zone. Maybe if you ran this play in the middle of the field and caught him in a zone, you might get that. But down there, you're seeing man a lot more. So great play versus man. And now you have the opportunity then to just really read what that linebacker is doing. He comes underneath you, you're going to climb over the top, and the quarterback will, you know, kind of hit you on a kind of a glance post. Or more than likely, he's going to be over the top of that, and you're just going to come across, catch the ball, and pierce the defense. Regardless, we've seen it be a really effective play, like I said, in the low red zone. Two touchdowns this week, one in the NFL and one in college football.
Yeah, Keith, ever since, ever since like 2007, Patriots have ran Haas Juke to, you know, they've run it just repeatedly over and over and over again. But, you know, they've always had a guy like Welker, a guy like Edelman, Amendola, and they got those, you know, Troy Brown or Deion Branch. They got those short, you know, fast twitch, really quick guys. And, you know, they're the guys that have the 20-yard shuttle that are out of control. And, you know, like, you know, they have to get a mass up on a mic, you know, because they go empty. Defense goes split safety, cover two or quarters or something. What ends up happening is the number three dropper is matched up on your quickest guy. So then you're screwed as a defense. I mean, good luck trying to cover Welker or Edelman or Troy Brown with your mic. So that's sort of where that began. And, you know, I like it the way you turned this last weekend, because a lot of times when teams get down into the red zone, they go right back to stuff like that. You know, they go to red two or red seven, which is quarters, or they're bracketing two guys. So once again, your number three receiver is one-on-one with a backer right there in the middle. And most time in the red zone, you know, they're going to play aggressive. You know, they don't want to, you know, take a deep drop. You know, they don't want to get killed underneath, because 5 yards down in the red zone is worth a heck of a lot more than 5 yards on the opposite 30. So, you know, it's another good use of it. The Patriots used to run it a lot down in the red zone, but I haven't seen them do a lot anymore, because teams most often want to play right through against them down there if they're an empty or such. But yeah, it's a great play. I saw Andy Reid last year hit a touchdown on the same exact play that you showed with the Panthers and the Florida Gators. They ran through Sammy Watkins, where he ran the almost like a spot route, you know, turned around, got his pitcher taken, then burst back out across the field. And I think that was against Red too as well. So it's a way down there to scheme up, get one of your better athletes in space against the linebacker.
You stop and think about what we were just talking about and all the things you defend in that regard. And probably back in the old days, you know, your first and second down defense was maybe different personnel that was getting ready for the run game and the play action and all that. And then you bought in all these little guys, right, to play that play, even in the red zone. And you could actually zero in on that play. But now, shoot, first and second down, they're having to play all of those things we just talked about the first part of this show, and third down, they're still on the field and they've got to be ready to know who brackets who. And all of a sudden you end up with that play showing up, and shoot, that's why the two plays we looked at yesterday on All 22 Tuesday, the guys walked in. It brings up a point that Keith, I texted you on Saturday and talking about, you know, you better be able to tackle as a corner on defense at all levels of football these days. You know, that's a good example right there, that the little guys in football, meaning the defensive guys, they are a premium right now, whether it's defending the daggone jet sweep on the perimeter or playing the play that Zach was just talking about. If you can cover and tackle and play corner in college football, and I mean really play it well, you're going to be a very wealthy individual very shortly.
Charlie, it used to be that NFL was standing for no fullbacks left, but clearly Monday night, the San Francisco 49ers showed that the fullback is alive and well in football. And we've been talking about that more under center, even I formation type sets, where we're starting to see, you know, the fullback, call them fullback, H-back, guys are using them in different ways, become more involved in this. But also what we're seeing, you know, we've seen a lot of that outside zone play that I love. But, you know, along with that, and first play from scrimmage, the 49ers against the Browns was basically an outside zone counterplay, right, where they wrapped it back. And those guys, you know, they showed outside zone. It looked like outside zone from the start. And everybody, you know, is fighting to not get reached. And they even probably went to the wrong linebacker inside, but that guy had already moved far enough that he was out of the play. And really, then they just had two guys left on the backside to take care of. One was with, they ran it away from the backside tight end, and the other was the fullback wrapping back as well and making a big block there.
No doubt. I mean, it's a wonder that the Brown linebacker didn't call timeout, and that's what that was. That, you know, they're cheating. They got two guys back there, and one of them looks like he's a big blocking guy. So, yeah, you just don't see it very much. But, heck, it showed up on that play big time for San Francisco. And then I'm watching Kansas play Oklahoma. And that turned out to be a lopsided affair. But for, you know, Les Miles, he's not going to abandon some of that. He's got a fullback back there. And they turned around and tossed one to their tailback about 8 or 9 yards deep. He paused. And I really went back and looked at it. And I think that there was some power action to the offense's left. The tailback just kind of paused right there, and then he cut it to the right. But just because the fullback was in there and they'd run him a couple times, everybody was screaming downhill at that fullback, ended up being a 60 yard run. And shoot, Keith, you and I are, me especially, but you know you're getting there, I guess, but we're getting old enough where when you get old enough you start seeing things cycle.
Right.
And you know, if everybody's gonna be out there defending 53 and a third, and they better right now, there's gonna be somebody that goes, you know what, they go put their arm around that big old kid that really wants to get the ball more, but he's not. So he's either a tight end or a linebacker or a fullback type, and they'll go, hey, buddy, I got a job that you can fill in for 10 plays, you know, be a big deal for us. So as long as they let you put one back there, there could be somebody that does it.
Well, the other interesting application, and we've been talking about misdirection a lot, and I thought a very creative play in the Browns game. Now, they had taken OBJ back there and made him, you know, toss the ball to him, just made him a tailback. They come back with the exact same kind of play. It was just the old slice trap with a, you know, you're showing either toss or stretch and giving it underneath to the fullback, which in this case was Chubb, Nick Chubb, coming back underneath. And, you know, you look at Baker Mayfield's fake. It was kind of like one of those old CYO fakes, hand in the air, you know, pretending he's pitching the ball, and where the heck is the ball? You know, the defense is looking for it, and Chubb's down the sideline, and what is, you know, I mean, it reminded me just of a junior high play, something you'd see, you know, hurting somebody with a trap going away from that tailback who's had the ball the whole game.
Yeah, I once again, this has been a fun 2019 season. It's been fun doing the two shows that we do on Tuesday and Wednesday, because if, you know, we talk about trends on Wednesday. I'm gonna give you a big trend, and I'll promise you this one's a trend that is maybe not completely new, but it's I want to say the NFL has bought into it. They are doing things in the NFL that 10 years ago, if you'd have brought it up in a meeting, they would have either laughed you out of it or beat your butt and threw you out of it. There's no way. Didn't OBJ throw the ball last night too?
On the very first play from scrimmage, right?
Yeah. I'm going like, you bring that. Hey, the first play of the game, what we're going to do is Randy Moss is going to go around right in and throw a pass to somebody. Like, what are you talking about? You know, we got Dante Culpepper. We got, you know, so those days of, you know, you can't do that because nobody does it are over. I mean, you don't know what that cat in the next room is drawing up. And because, you know, used to be you had to maybe answer more to the owner than you did as far as what you were doing. Why do we have a $10 million quarterback and our receivers throwing it? Well, people aren't starting to understand that, you know, you got to answer that owner one way or another. And so you want to make sure that when you're talking to him with a, you know, a 10-6 record instead of 6-10.
Exactly. Well, Charlie, and I'm sure, you know, the guys who are out there doing it on Sunday are just like the kids we would, you know, coach on a Friday night. And I'd always say, you know, we put something in like that. It's fun for the kids. It's fun for the kids. You know, everybody has fun with those kinds of things. So the creativity we're seeing is great. And like we said, we're seeing things kind of cycle back in. Definitely see plays copied, flat out copied, like we mentioned here. I can't believe the Steelers would copy a Browns play. But yeah, the Steelers borrowing from their playbook. And I think that's the beauty of so much being on video today is you have time to see those kinds of things. And maybe you don't take it outright, but you tweak it and make it fit what you do.
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to add, and we did a good job last week, and for you guys out there listening, I mean, I am definitely on this show with two offensive guys, so I try my daggonest every week to dig up some defensive and special team stuff, and I will next week. But we beat up that North Carolina deal last week pretty good, what they did with Clemson. But I just want to take my hat off to the defensive coaches and the defensive coordinators. Every week we come on here and talk about a lot of stuff, and, you know, we're not seeing, even at the college level, when everybody came out with the spread and no huddle and going 100 miles an hour for, you know, you were seeing 60 points getting thrown up and 50 points and all this. You're not seeing that as much anymore unless there's a mismatch personnel-wise. And these defensive coaches that are, you know, right now as we speak, are in some dark room trying to figure out how to, you know, shut them down coming Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I mean, in my opinion, hats off. I mean, no more defending the ISO and the sprint draw. And I mean, those days are over. So you can just imagine how many walkthroughs they're having and how many, you know, just over and over and over again, because everybody used to be really hard to play an option team. Yeah, it's really, you know, got to be disciplined against an option team. Well, guess what? Everybody's an option team now.
Well, you know, I look forward to another week of this, and it starts all over again. The thing I was thinking about today, guys, it kind of gets exciting because can't remember exactly when, but sometime either mid to late October, you start getting Maction, which means there's Mac action on like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, got NFL on Thursdays. We got the Friday Night Lights on Fridays. We're going to have football every single day of the week. So we'll have a lot to talk about here as the season rolls on.
Yep, I'm pretty sure as soon as they get the World Series over with, you can bet on it being 7 days a week. But it'll be fun. It's good being here this week, Keith. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Check out all we're doing on this, and you know, we'll share all of the clips on blogs.usafootball.com. Zach Dunn does a great job of putting up his analysis articles. I believe he has one coming out on the Patriots Power Pass. Zach, what are some of the recent ones you've done for us?
Yeah, Keith, I did one last week on the Chiefs four strong post wheels wide deep stick. I also did one on a play action concept, kind of like the old wide throwback. I did one on that. I got one coming up here soon this week on the Chiefs four strong double spot snag. That's another four strong concept, and I also got the Patriots power pass as well.
And as I mentioned before, we do the All 22 Tuesday, a video type of version of this. We talk about four or five plays that we saw from the previous week, and we have that at blogs.firstdownplaybook.com. For those of you who haven't checked it out yet, check out what Charlie's doing with First Down Playbook. Charlie, how can they check that out?
That can be found at firstdownplaybook.com.
We look forward to another week. For your coaches who are looking for any kind of drills that involve contact, that's tackling, blocking, or defeating blocks, head over to footballdevelopment.com and check out our systems there. And follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle for football coaches at @FBDEVCoach.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.